We're back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Sometimes bigger isn't always better, but it looks like Apple thinks it is. News leaking out that the company plans to unveil a bigger iPhone this year. What's driving the change, and is it likely to be the trend among all smartphones? To break it all down, I'm joined by Sasha Segan, a lead analyst for PC Mag Mobile and a columnist for PCMag.com. Sasha, once again, thank you for joining us here on 1320 WILS.
Thanks for having me here.
Okay, now, do we first of all know when the new iPhone will be unveiled?
We don't know, but most speculation is around October.
Now, the current iPhone is a 3.5-inch screen size. From what I understand, the plan is to go to at least a 4-inch screen. What is driving this change? Is there a consensus out there that the current size is just too small?
Well, we've been hearing these reports of a 4-inch iPhone since February 2011. So let's remember that we've been hearing these reports for more than a year. This is nothing new. But consumers do tend to want larger phones. Some research reports out there have said that most Americans want phones with screens between 4 and 4.3 inches, and we've seen some popular phones that are even bigger out there. So it's not a surprise to hear that Apple is trying to move up, but they've been trying to move up while keeping compatibility with past iPhones intact, and that may be why what's taking them so long.
You've reviewed so many different smartphones. Do you yourself feel that a larger screen, 4 inches plus, is a better screen?
I agree that 4 to 4.3 inches is probably the sweet spot right now. Now, that said, there are phones coming out on the market that are even larger, all the way up to the gigantic 5.3-inch Samsung Galaxy Note, which you may have seen advertised. So 4 inches is still definitely on the small size of it's on the small side of today's smartphones.
Is it, when you get up over 5 inches, does that, having handled this kind of a phone, do you think it is too big?
I think 5.3 inches is way too big. I've been calling those things phablets, half phone, half tablet. But I was amazed at the backlash I got when I wrote a column saying that this size was ridiculous. It turns out there are a lot of guys out there who want a really big phone. They love it.
I see. I guess you'd have to get some big pockets to fit them into also.
I imagine so.
So, you know, last time we talked, the new iPad was being unveiled. You described this spectacular display. Are we likely to see that the same high-level display in the new iPhone?
Well, the new iPhone screen is about the same resolution as the new iPad screen. I mean, the existing iPhone screen is. So I don't think we're going to see much change in the iPhone screen. We might see some change in the body design. We'll almost certainly see 4G LTE for much faster internet speeds, especially on Sprint and Verizon. It might be made of metal. There's a lot of rumors floating around out there.
Also, what do you think of Siri, this voice-activated verbal command program? I know initially there were some glitches. How would you describe it now?
Apple is really good at creating experiences that people connect with emotionally. And there are a bunch of competing voice-activated command systems out there, but Apple has done a really good job of making people feel like Siri is their personal friend. And people have a very strong emotional attachment to Siri, so I think Apple considers it a real sales point now.
Is this the ultimate trend for the phones, the fact that we're likely going to be not even hitting numbers, just simply talking to these phones sooner or later?
Ultimately, voice commands are going to take a larger role. For instance, I recently saw the Samsung Galaxy S3, which is the next big smartphone from the world's largest phone maker, Samsung, and they are also going big time into voice commands. So yeah, we're going to be talking to our phones a lot more to make them do complicated things especially.
Another thing that's apparently happening is Apple is now testing potential iPad models with screens that are smaller than the current 9.7-inch display. Is it looking like we will probably see smaller iPads sooner or later?
Well, once again, we've been hearing these rumors about the smaller iPad for probably about 12 to 15 months. Apple tests a lot of things and a lot of ideas that they don't end up putting on the market. One thing you have to understand about Apple is that they're really opaque, but there's a lot of sorting out, a lot of winnowing that goes on in that company between ideas until they put out the perfect idea, the one perfect idea on the market. So I'm skeptical about the smaller iPad. They've been toying with the idea for a while, but I'm not sold on why it has to happen.
I'm talking to Sasha Segan. He's the lead analyst for PC Mag Mobile and a columnist for PCMag.com. Now, Sasha, what folks that aren't particularly tech-focused may not know is that there is this ongoing battle and relationship between Apple and Samsung when it comes to smartphones. Samsung shipped over 44 million smartphones in the global market for the first quarter of this year. Meanwhile, Apple just sold 35 million iPhones. What's driving this sales, these Samsung sales above Apple, and what does that tell you about the industry?
Samsung has a very different philosophy than Apple does. They're almost opposites. Apple's philosophy is we will make the one perfect device. We'll make one, and it will please as many people as possible. Samsung's philosophy is we'll make something for everyone. You know, there's 6 billion people in the world with 6 billion different tastes. If we could, we'd make 6 billion different models, a customized one for everybody. So Samsung has this much broader product line because they're trying to target people's tastes, I would say, more precisely than Apple, who's trying to hit a big middle ground with a single product. So you have these very different approaches, and in Samsung's case, that means they have a lot of different smartphones, and they're hitting all different price points, different carriers, different countries, so they're selling a heck of a lot of products.
What gets really confusing then is that Samsung and Apple are now locked in some legal battles over designs and patents, but meanwhile, Apple is the largest customer for Samsung's component division, which makes chips, displays for smartphones, and so on. What are we to make of this very strange relationship?
It's a twisted world. I mean, you have these huge conglomerates, and one part of the conglomerate could have somebody as their customer, and another part of the conglomerate could have it as their enemy. It's absolutely possible, and you know, Samsung wants both of their businesses to succeed, so they're trying to balance the fact that Apple is this great customer for memory, for instance, and a competitor when it comes to smartphones. It's a delicate balance for Samsung, but everybody's suing Apple, and Apple is suing everybody right now. The lawsuit situation in terms of intellectual property has just gotten ridiculous. Most observers I know think that everybody in the industry has to dial this back.
What do you think, though, it says about the future when Samsung basically is making its own smartphones and building what makes up most of the Apple's iPhones? Does that not give them an edge in the long run?
Well, let me tell you another story on the same thought, which is that a lot of people say that Microsoft makes more money from Android phones than they do from their own Windows phones, because Microsoft licenses various patents and technologies to Google Android phone makers. So everybody's intertwined. Everybody's getting money from here and there. Samsung is not going to cut off the supply of memory to Apple because it would, that would spite its own business. But they'll find ways to privilege their own phones. For instance, Samsung's new screen technologies come on Samsung phones first. That's an advantage.
Apple was recently criticized for the labor issues since so many of their phones are made in China, Taiwan. What are your thoughts about the fact that these gadgets are being made in some less than friendly manufacturing environments in China?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't single out Apple there. Everybody's making phones in these same plants. These same factories are making phones for every major manufacturer. Apple gets singled out because they're such a high-profile company, and they try to establish, as I said, this emotional connection with the consumer. But that said, I would love to see a phone maker or an electronics maker in general make their devices in the U.S., or primarily in Western Europe, in these other high-wage countries, and see if they can make that a selling point. Would people go out and pick a U.S.-made phone over another kind of phone? I don't know. I'd love to see that choice in the market.
Obviously, iPhone users love the iPhone. They probably wouldn't consider an Android phone. But when you look at things beyond the iPhone, what would you say right now is the model you're most excited about?
I'm very excited about, two things right now. One are the HTC One S and One X phones. Now, these are phones that devices apparently Apple has considered so threatening, Apple has successfully sued to keep them out of the country for a little while. But they will make it into the country, probably in a week or two. And these are just lovely, well-built, beautiful Android phones. They make Android a little more beautiful. They're coming out on AT&T and T-Mobile. And then this Samsung Galaxy S3, which is just a giant whopper of a phone, 4.8-inch screen. It's huge, but it is the flagship from Samsung. And as we said, Samsung's number one. It cannot be ignored.
But it sounds like one thing is certain. We're going to be seeing much bigger phones across the board moving ahead.
I think big phones are a trend right now.
Sasha Segan, lead analyst for PC Mag Mobile, a columnist for PCMag.com. You can find his reviews on hundreds of different electronic components. Sasha, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thanks for having me.
And we're coming right back. You're listening to More Compelling Talk Radio. This is 1320 WILS.